Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. Today is National Strawberry Day. Yes, they are still in season, and most of the nation's winter strawberries are produced right here in Florida, just up the coast around Plant City. But not every strawberry is the same. There's a lot of hard work that goes into cultivating the best varieties for a perfectly red and juicy berry. Some of that work is being done at the University of Florida Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences Strawberry Breeding Program, which utilizes both horticultural sciences and molecular genetics on the small fruits. Joining us now is the head of that program, Dr. Vance Whitaker. Dr. Whitaker, thanks for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on, Mike.
We're talking about the UF IFAS Strawberry Breeding Program on National Strawberry Day. You can join our conversation, too. Call 877-428-8255. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Dr. Whitaker, first of all, broad question. What is a strawberry? I mean, I've heard they're not even actually berries. Is that true?
Botanically, that is actually true. They're not a berry. The part that's red that we eat is actually swollen stem material, and the little seeds that are on the outside of the berry are actually botanically fruits.
So,
and that surprises a lot of people, but yes, the part you eat, the fleshy part, the red part, is not the actual fruit part.
So how did they become a strawberry?
Well, that's a good question. Common names don't often give us a whole lot of technical information.
Gotcha.
And actually, the origins of the name strawberry are kind of really debated. No one truly knows where that name came from.
Hmm. So how did you get started in the world of strawberry breeding?
Well, I was at University of Minnesota doing graduate work on roses, trying to make them more disease resistant through breeding so that they would need less pesticides. And it so happens that roses are in the same plant family as strawberry, and I was at a scientific meeting, and somebody handed me an advertisement and said, you really need to come to Florida and breed strawberries. And at the time, I had no idea how many strawberries were grown in Florida and just how cool of a job it was. But I came here 9 years ago.
And where is here? Where is your research facility?
Our research facility is tucked in a little place that you've probably never heard of called Wimauma, Florida. It's just south of Riverview, Florida, just on the Gulf Coast, sort of north of Bradenton, south of Riverview.
Do you live out there by the facility, or do you commute from a bigger town?
I live in Brandon. I live sort of halfway between this facility and the center of Plant City because I'm back and forth quite a lot in the whole region.
Gotcha. So what does your job mostly entail, I mean, as the head of a strawberry breeding program? What's your day-to-day typically like?
Well, during the season right now, I spend a lot of time in the field. We evaluate over 10,000 seedlings a year, so you can imagine that I don't eat strawberries when I go home at night. So we eat a lot of strawberries. We examine the strawberries in the field every week throughout the season, about 20 weeks. It's a lot of hard work in the sun or during the freezes, depending on what part of the season it is. But we have to evaluate the strawberries for so many different traits, not just flavor and appearance, but the yield of the plant, how easy the plant is to harvest. Every aspect that anyone in the market chain would consider advantageous about a strawberry variety.
So a lot of your job is sort of tedious data collection.
There's a lot of data collection. We have huge amounts of field research. And then we have a huge greenhouse facility going full-time just making the hybrid crosses for the strawberries. And then we have a lab facility as well.
Okay, so you are trying to come up with new varieties of strawberry. Is that fair to say? Is that sort of your overarching job there?
That is correct. In Hillsborough County, where there's about 11,000 acres of strawberries, those acres are made up of three main varieties currently. So while you go to the grocery store, you don't see the name of the strawberry variety on the clamshell like you do for, say, an apple.
Mm-hmm.
It could be one of about three different varieties.
Do they all look basically the same, or is there an easy way for a consumer to say, oh, well, that's this kind or that kind?
For the consumer, it's a little bit difficult. If you look at them every day, I can always tell. My wife makes fun of me. I'm always in the grocery store. Every time I'm in there, I'm examining the strawberries. Oh, okay, it's this variety from this grower that I know. Wow, it looks great today. And she's just snickering at me, you know, as she's going through the rest of the produce aisle. I really enjoy that, but it's going to be difficult for the average person to do that. The main thing that they can do is just look at the appearance, the aroma, the freshness of the pack.
Are strawberries grown outside of the United States and shipped in, or are they not durable enough for that kind of transport?
Well, due to breeding and over time, they have become more durable for that kind of transport. And though most of the nation's strawberries are supplied by Florida and California, we also have a lot of strawberries coming in at this time of the year from central Mexico. So that's a major competitor for Florida. And it's a big deal in the marketplace right now.
And you're not getting a lot of people like home gardeners or farmer. You know, Florida is not really great. We're not known for your backyard strawberry patch. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. In fact, Florida is the only state in the union where wild strawberries are not native. That's how difficult it is to grow strawberries in Florida. So you ask, why in the world do we grow them here? Well, we're the only subtropical region of the country that can produce strawberries through the entire winter season. And so, therefore, we can provide them when no one else can. It's really just central Florida and central Mexico that can provide, you know, in the months of, say, December, January, February, at any type of volume. And so we've figured out ways to adapt the crop through breeding to grow here over the winter instead of growing in a northern location during the summer. It took a lot of work to do that.
We're talking with the head of the IFAS-UF Strawberry Breeding Program, Dr. Vance Whitaker, on National Strawberry Day. If you'd like to join our conversation, the number to call is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So let's talk about what you guys are doing in the greenhouse in order to come up with potential new varieties. What is the basic explanation of how that process works in the lab, as it were?
Well, Mike, what we do is we're a conventional crossbreeding program at its basis. So every year we make between 70 and 100 different cross combinations. And in order to make those crosses, we move pollen from the male parent in that cross to the flowers of the female parent in that cross. And we do that in a very controlled way. We use camel's hair brushes, and we remove the pollen-producing structures from the female flowers. It's a very detailed, involved process, but at the end of the process, what you have is you are assured that the seeds that come from that cross really came from the hybrid that you intended to create.
And by we moved pollen around, are you mostly talking about like graduate students, or kind of what's the mechanics of your lab?
We have about 12 folks in the lab, some of them graduate students, and then PhDs who are doing heavy-duty research, folks in the field, folks in the greenhouse. I have currently one full-time technician and another intern that have spent most of their time, full-time, two people, just making crosses. That's what a big job it is.
Do you ever get sick of strawberries?
Well, as I said, I don't eat a whole lot of strawberries at home. I bring them home to my wife and three young children who love strawberries. I can't afford to get sick of strawberries, so I have to pace myself because I'm a strawberry breeder and I'm going to be eating them. Thankfully, I do love strawberries. I just can't overdo it.
Do you ever or have you at this point in your career come across a strawberry that was like, holy cow, and then it wound up in, you know, out in the world? Have you been around long enough for that to have happened?
Well, I did have one variety called Sweet Sensation that the cross was made by my predecessor, and then I helped evaluate as a seedling and then carry it through the rest of the process that came out a couple years ago. And we just had a newer variety called Florida Beauty that came out this particular year. There's about 4% of the industry in the introductory year of that variety. And so we have another new release next year. So we've had about three come out during the time that I've been here.
You know, that Sweet Sensation variety that you just mentioned, it has in the press release and in the materials that are available, it's got the registered trademark next to it. Can you flesh out how that works? Exactly.
Now, that's a great question. So, for that variety, the trade name that people think of, Sweet Sensation, is a registered trademark. And the reason for that is that some Florida growers have been experimenting with using that trademark on the clamshell to identify the fruit. Kind of an exception to the rule of not typically saying the name of that type of strawberry on the clamshell. But in this case, because it's such a good-tasting strawberry, the thought was to maybe identify that at the store level and allow people to begin to follow that particular variety.
Oh.
So there's been some test marketing around that concept. With other varieties that may have similar flavor quality, you can also use that same trademark if you want to basically identify a certain quality of fruit.
Is this the first time that you've done this with a strawberry variety? Because I didn't notice it on any of the other ones.
Yes, that is the first time we've done that with a strawberry variety. And so we're really interested to see how that goes, how it could be potentially useful to the growers here in Hillsborough County, whether it can help them in the marketplace, whether consumers like it. And so that is definitely something that I'm really interested to see how it plays out.
How much time do you spend with growers out in their, they're grown outdoors, I presume?
Yes, yep. They're all grown.
So in the fields.
In open fields, and I spend a lot of time with growers. Not only do we have trials on their fields of potential new varieties for them to test, but I spend a lot of time looking at any problems that they may have with the varieties, and just getting to know them, their operations, and the challenges that they face, because the growers here in Hillsborough County face a unique set of challenges and problems compared to growers, say, in California. And we're the folks that are here to help them make them better and make them successful. And so I really need to understand what they want.
You know, we've covered a lot over the past couple decades the issues facing the citrus industry with greening now and with citrus canker before that. Are there threats out there to the strawberry industry that are, you know, in some ways similar to what citrus faces?
Well, we do have challenges with pests and diseases, but unlike citrus, where there's sort of this one huge main disease problem that's the main focus right now in citrus. In strawberry, it's kind of spread over about five or six different diseases that attack different parts of the plant at different parts of the season in certain weather conditions. And so we breed for resistances to most or all of those. And our pathologist here works on methods for reducing those diseases through management. But they're not necessarily so severe as to really cause a crisis in the industry. I would say the biggest challenge that our growers have is that competition from Mexico that we described earlier. It's just important that people look for that Florida label on their produce and recognize that really if you're in the Southeast or on the East Coast, Florida is your local source of strawberries during the wintertime and early spring. So that's really what you should be looking for.
Do you have any new varieties that are like coming down the line that you have high hopes for?
We do. We have a new variety called Florida Brilliance that's coming out next season. There'll be about 10% of the industry grown in that particular variety. And it's named Brilliance because it has a really dramatic shine and gloss to the outside of the fruit that's really pretty and will really be noticeable when people look at the fruit in the grocery store. And so the growers are excited about that one, and I'm excited to see what happens as well.
Do the growers get any kind of like incentive to put in new varieties, or is there a partnership there, or how does the mechanics of that work real quick?
Well, there is a real strong partnership. The variety program's been going about 70 years, and it's kind of grown hand in hand with the industry. And growers are immediately aware of and are very engaged in the program. As soon as something gets trialed on a grower's field, all the growers' friends are taking a look at it as well. We're communicating with them. And so they're very involved in giving lots of feedback, and they're the main clientele. If they don't want our varieties, then we're not doing our job.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have for today's show. I want to thank my guest, Dr. Vance Whitaker, is Associate Professor of Horticultural Sciences at the University of Florida Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences, and he leads the strawberry breeding program there. Dr. Whitaker, thanks for your time. I enjoyed our conversation.
I did too. Thank you so much, Mike.
And thanks also to my earlier guests, Brian Colando and Lisa Colando, publisher and editor-in-chief of Revive Magazine. Our show today was produced by Rachel Iacovone and myself. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Canary. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.